We're holding on Nun Ches Amud Aleph, nine lines from the bottom. Well, I mean, the Batre. Okay, we started discussing the question of what do the various Tanoim hold as far as where is the position of the Mizbeach and the Azara. Yeah. The position of it between east and west, we know. We know that there were 22 Amos from the Shai Nicanor, from the eastern gate to the beginning of the Mizbeach, then the Mizbeach, then another 22 Amos till the front of the Heichel. Yeah. And, yeah. So everybody, we know for a fact that you have the 22 Amos from here to here,
from where?
From here, from the eastern wall of the Azara, till the beginning of the Mizbeach, 32 for the Mizbeach, another 22 for the distance to the Heichel, and then you have the Heichel, and you have the area in back of the Heichel. The Heichel is 100 Amos.
100. And this area here?
This area behind it is 11 Amos.
11
Amos. So that's, you have 22, 32, 22, 100, and 11 equals 187 total. This, by the way, that we're saying that the Mizbeach was in the middle between east and west, source for where we have the concept that a bima in shul should be in the middle of the shul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bima. So that the bima, which so to speak represents the mizbeach, should be in the middle of the shul. This is also why when the reformers started in the 18-something or whatever started with the idea that the bima should be in the front of the shul, lahavdil, like a pulpit in a church. One of the reasons that the Rabbanim of that time, Sam Sofer and others opposed it, aside from the Chukas HaGoyim angle, was because a shul to that extent is supposed to be like the Beis Mikdash, and therefore the Mizbeach was in the middle, and so does the Bima, actually.
It's not really in the middle.
Well, but again, we're talking about middle between east and west. Yeah, 22 between east and west, in the area from the wall until the front of the Heichel.
And north and south also,
well, that we have a different opinion. That's what we were discussing. But this is why, by the way, you know, in our shul over here, it's very narrow east to west. But you notice that they always make sure when they're laning to pull out the bima a little bit further away from the aron, so that it's not quite in front of the aron, because that would be the reform way to do it.
That's the way
they do it. That's the way. Well, that's the reformers made in their temples and whatever. They made it next to the aron, of course. Okay. All right. Anyway. Okay. So getting back to over here, we started saying that Rabbi Yochanan had said that Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that the entire Mizbeach is in the northern half of the Azara, whereas we said we thought Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda held that it's in the middle of the Azara, and that's why he says half and half of it, the half of it is valid for Olus and half not. Then we said it's not really necessarily so, because we could say according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, since we said that he agrees that if you shech them kenegdan bakarka, then it's possible. And we said kenegdan bakarka means in the area that used to be part of the footprint of the Mizbeach and now is not. So why is it possible? Because that part is physically in the southern half of the Azara, which means Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda may well hold that the entire Mizbeach, when it's its full size, is to begin with in the southern half of the Azara. So just like we can't prove from him,
for him, the Mizbeach,
he would hold.
Mizbeach.
Fine, you still have, you shecht on Safan Mizbeach, but he would hold, therefore, as we're going to see later on in the Gemara, he would hold that the entire northern half of the Azara is empty. So therefore, he would hold the entire northern half of the Azara is empty. We'll see later, we'll bring a pasuk. But the point is that he might well hold that the wall of the Mizbeach, or rather the beginning of the Yisod of the Mizbeach, is on the line separating north from south, and extending southward from there. But by the same token, not necessarily does Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah have to necessarily be saying that the Mizbeach is all in the north, which therefore we would say that that's why he'd say that if you shech kodshim on them, it should be kosher. Not necessarily. The same way as Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, we see, apparently holds the entire Mizbeach is in the south, and yet he holds half of it as kosher for shech and kodshim. The same way Rabbi Yossi may hold that the Mizbeach is someplace else in the Azara, not necessarily all the way in the northern half. And yet, there is a cost that you can check on the whole thing. So we don't necessarily have a proof, but we do have, to begin with, at the beginning of the Sugya, where Rabbi Yochanan had said that he had the Kabbalah from his Rebbeim, that this is how Rabbi Yossi holds, that in fact the Mizbeach is all in the north. So, Amr Rabbi Zera, so Rabbi Zera says, Efshir Issa Lahod Rabbi Yochanan V'Letzinina L'Bamas Nisin, how could it be possible that we have the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yossi says the entire Mizbeach is in the Safin, and we don't have any hint to it anywhere in all of the Mishnayos, of all the Shisha Sidri Mishnah. Given that, again, we don't necessarily have a proof from our Mishnah, then Rabbi Zeder is asking, where does Rabbi Yochanan get this from? If Rabbi Yochanan is saying that he had the Kabbalah from his Rebbeim that Rabbi Yossi holds this way, then...
Hello?
I do, but
Can we say anything about that?
No. You want to just step up?
No.
Oh, I...
No, I'm not.
She's always been out from the medicine that's freezing. It's the symptom of an infection.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's continue. Okay, so Rav Zera is asking, if Rav Yechanan has this, the Kabbalah from his Rebbeim, there has to be some kind of hint to it someplace in Mishnah. Where is it?
That Rav Yossi holds this way,
that Rav Yossi would hold the entire Mizbech in the northern half. Well, Nofak Dok Vaashka. So Rav Zera went out of the Beis Medrash and checked into it, and sure enough, he found a Mishnah that implies that is Rav Yossi's Shitta. Namely, the Tanan, we learned a Mishnah in Talmud. Now, we have like this. On the top of the Mizbeach, there were various piles of wood where there were various piles of wood that were set on fire. You have the Ma'aroch HaGdola, which is where they burnt the Korbanos, and then you have the Ma'aroch HaShniyah Shel Ketoras, the second one where they take from it coals for the Ketoras. They would take
right.
So that's what we have to figure out. That's what we're going to discuss. So there's actually in Yuma a few different opinions of Tanoim exactly how many piles of wood there were on the Mizbeah. The halacha is, if I remember correctly, that there were three throughout the year and then an extra one was added on Yom Kippur so that the Kohen Gadol would take coals from it for the Ketoras and the Kodesh HaKadosh. And be that as it may, here we're dealing only with the first two. Well, here we're dealing only with the second one, actually. So we have the Ma'aroch HaShniyah Shel Ketoras.
Why do we call Ma'aroch
HaShniyah? Because the second one, you have the main one, which is for burning the pieces of the Korbanos, which is, right now, we're not discussing it. In Talmud, it mentions where on the Mizbeach it was, but right now, it's not relevant. But the point is, we're going to discuss Mishnayos Talmud deal with the daily order of in which they did things in the Beis Hamikdash. So it says, they picked out from there, meaning from the chamber of wood, from the Dir HaEtzim, from the one of the rooms in the Ezras Nashim where they stored the wood for the Beis Hamikdash. They picked out from there Ase Te'ena Yofim, good pieces of fig wood. Why specifically fig? Rashi says Bechal, they used to do, that was one of the regular kinds of wood that was one of the regular kinds of wood they used on the Mizbeach. Because it burns well, but Rashi says also, and I got a different reason, because we have among the opinions, what was the chetei sadas? You have one opinion that it was fig trees, because that's what it says, that's why Adam and Chava covered themselves with fig leaves, like none of the other trees wanted to have anything to do with them, therefore we use fig wood in order to be mesaken their chet. Anyway, so they picked good quality pieces of fig wood, Lasader Ma'aroch HaShniyah Shel Ketoras, in order to set up the second pile, which would be used for the Ketoras, meaning that not that they'd burn the Ketoras on it, you don't burn the Ketoras on the Mizbeach HaChitzin, but meaning they would scoop up a panful of coals from there and bring it in and put it on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, on the golden Mizbeach, and that's where they would burn the daily Ketoras, using coals from the Mizbeach HaChitzin. Where was this pile located?
Coals meaning
exactly what it sounds like. Wood that became charcoal, yeah. Burning coals, yeah. So where did they set up this pile? Kineged Keren Ma'arav Zdremis. They set it up close to the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. Moshuch Min HaKeren Tzopet Tzofen Arba Amos. It was four Amos removed towards the north. So in other words, it wasn't exactly at the corner, but it was four Amos away from the southern edge going towards the north. And the size of it was Ba'omid Chomish Se'im Zecholim. The size of it was they put enough wood there that they estimated that it would produce about 5 sa'ah of coal. The idea being that the Kohen is going to have to go there and go up there with a A saw in terms of water, a saw is a measure of volume actually. So it's the volume of about 20 pounds, about 2.5 gallons worth of water. Figure like this: a mikveh is approximately 200 gallons. So 40 saws. So actually no. So it would actually be five. So it would be 5 gallons then. We're 5 gallons to the saw then. Fine. So. So figure from that then. So a shear mitzvah is approximately the volume of a person. So divide that into 8, and that would be the amount. Whatever. Anyway, so it was the idea was that it should produce about 5 saw of not of ashes, but of coals, and the idea being that the Kohen is going to have to be sticking in his shovel and getting good quality coals, live coals that he can use for the Kohen. So you want there to be a nice size pile of coals in order that he can easily scoop up a bunch of good quality ones. Over Shabbos, Ba'omet Shmoina seems to call him. On Shabbos, they would make this pile bigger. They would make it so that it would produce about 8 saw worth of coals. Because they would also, on Shabbos, they would use that pile of coals to also burn the two spoonfuls of Levona that went along with the Lachem HaFanim. So therefore, they needed more coals in order to be able to burn that problem. Anyway, so that's thus far the Mishnah in Talmud. So now we have to analyze, why did they put it exactly in that spot? Umay Simona, so what is the Simon? Why are we saying that Davka, they set up the Ma'aroch HaShniyah specifically in that place, near the southwestern corner, but 4 amos away from it? That would be Rav Yosi. Apparently, says Rav Zera, that would have to be according to Rav Yosi. The Tanya, namely, we learn in a Brasa, Rav Yosi, and there's Simon. Rav Yosi said, here's a Simon, how you know where things should be taken from. Kol ha-nitin, where things should be taken from and where they should be put. Kol ha-nitol b'fnim li-nosim b'chot. Anything that is taken from inside to be placed outside, which we're going to discuss later, what that means, you place it on the Mizeh HaChitin only on the place closest to where you are, only the place closest, where there's no place closer than it. So in other words, you find the closest spot on the Mizbeach, HaChitzen, and you put it over there, which we'll see soon what that means. That's what we have to figure out. But wait, here he's talking, this first part, he's talking about things that are brought from inside the Heichel to the outside. When you bring them outside to the Mizbeach, we're going to say later, we're talking about the Shiraim, then you pour them onto, or we're going to say, it's actually not the Shiraim, we're going to say something else. That it needs to be placed in the closest possible spot on the Mizeh HaChitzen, where there's no closer spot than it. And we'll see in a minute what he means. And vice versa, if you have something that you're taking from the Mizeh HaChitzen and placing it and bringing it and using it inside the Heichel, also, also, you have to take it from the closest possible spot where there's no closer spot to the inside. But first, before we understand how that relates to this Mishnah, before we understand how this rule relates to the Mishnah from Talmud that we just quoted, and before we understand how Rav Zera is getting from that, therefore that Rav Yosi says the whole Mizbeach was located in the northern half of the Azara, first we have to figure out what Rav Yosi means with the two parts of his rule. What does Rav Yosi mean when he refers to things that are brought from inside to be placed outside? What is he talking about? Ilem Shirayim, are you going to say that he's talking about the Shirayim, the leftovers of the blood from the five Chatois of Nimius? We don't need him to tell us that. The head yichsib, who are you said, Mizbacha Olash, HaPetach HaYomayit. The Pesach explicitly says you have to pour them on the Yisoid that is in front of the door, because we learned in the previous Pesach, it says that you pour them on the Yisoid of the Mizbacha Olash, which is by the door of the HaYomayit, and we learned before, that's why we had in the previous Pesach, that you pour them on Yisoid Ma'arovi, Shom Mizbeach HaChitzen, because that's the first side that you come to when you come out of the Heichel. Okay, we had one opinion over there that said that you pour them on the south side, because he held the Mizbeach is all the way on the north side, and therefore the southern edge is the point you come to first, fine, but at least Rav Yosi doesn't have to be giving us a simon, which implies like only he holds this way and others disagree, when we have explicitly in the pasuk that it's supposed to be that way. The two, kol anitin, kol anitin b'chutz, l'nosin r'pnim, mayinihu, and also we have to ask, What does he mean by the second half of his rule? Anything that's taken from outside and brought to be used inside, what is it that he says that's taken from the closest spot? My Niva, what is he talking about? Is he talking about the coals that the Kohen Gadol scoops off the Mizeh HaChitzen and carries into the Kodesh HaKadoshim for the Torah, for offering the Torah to the Mizeh? He also takes them from the Mizeh HaChitzen. No, he also takes them from the, well, yeah, he takes it, well, so that's the thing, actually. On Yom Kippur, they had a special Ma'arocha set up specifically for that purpose. Again. So, I don't remember, actually, but, the point is that, fine, it was also someplace towards the western side of the Mizeach, because that's closest to the Eichel. But again, if that's what Rav Yossi is referring to, that when the Kohen Gadol is taking cold, he has to take them from the western side of the Mizeach, because that's the closest to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim and to the Kodesh. Again, the head Yixid Baruch, again, it says explicitly in the Pasuk, V'lokach Molei Matzah Gachle Eish V'Goymer. It says you should take a pan full of fiery cold, me'alam mizbeach me'lifnei Hashem, from on the mizbeach, which is before Hashem, meaning that he has to take from the western side of the mizbeach. So again, it clearly says over there that it's supposed to be from the western side. So again, why would Rav Yossi have to be telling us that you have to take them from the closest spot when we know that from the pasuk? Rav Yossi doesn't have to give us the money. That's why Shitim Mukhabetis adds, and Rashi also adds, the pasuk, here the printers of the Gemara just shortened it. They didn't realize that the next part of the pasuk is the important one that the Gemara wants us to quote, which is that it continues, May Alam Mizbeach Milutnei Hashem. That you're taking it from on the Mizbeach, which is before Hashem, meaning the side, It's a question that sometimes the printers or the copyists before them or whatever didn't realize, you know, if you have the famous Bachar Avetzer, you know, okay, fine.
What is that?
Okay, well, you know, the Bachar Avetzer is like the junior apprentice, but, you know, he doesn't know these details. Okay, anyway, the point being, again, that Rav Yossi doesn't have to be giving us a clue for something that says clearly in the pasuk, a simon would imply, like, there's a certain opinion that he holds, not everybody agrees with that, but he's saying, I'll help you remember my opinion, but it says clearly in the pasuk that the Shirayim are poured on the closest part of the Yisod, and the coals for the Kohen Gadol's Tertus and Yom Kippur come from the side of the Mizbeach closest to the Hekel, then he doesn't need to be giving us a simon for that. Ella, so no, we have to say like this. What does Rav Yossi mean, what is he referring when he says something that's brought from inside to be placed outside? He means by that, the two spoonfuls of Levoina that are offered with the Lechem upon him, the Gamri Mishirayim, the Bazicha means spoons, right. So they had, when they put out the Lechem upon him every week on Shabbos, together with it, the Masata Al Amarachas Levoina Zaka, so they would have two spoonfuls of Tertus, one on or next to each pile, Willun and Menachas, where exactly they were placed. But anyway, so the point is, and then every Shabbos, when they took off the old Lechem upon him to give out to the Kohenim, they would take these Vazichim, they would take these spoonfuls of Levoina and burn the Levoina on the Mizbeach, and then reset them with the new Lechem upon him. So what he's saying is, when he says everything that's taken from inside the place outside, he's referring to these two bazicha levoina that go with the lechem upon him. Digamri mishirayim. Namely, how do we know that they go on the closest possible spot on the mizbeach? He says we learn them from the shirayim. The shirayim, it says explicitly, it says they should go as you said mizbeach ha'ola asher pesach ha'yomer. So Rav Yossi learns from that by the same logic, the bazichim are the same thing. They have to go on the closest possible spot of the mizbeach. Namely, in other words, according to him, the Ma'aroch HaShniya, which is what we started the discussion with, has to be on the closest possible spot on the Mizbeach to the door. That's what we're going to figure out, why he says the southwest corner, and why he says 4 amos away from the edge. So that's what we have to figure out, right? And
the southwest corner is in the middle of the two doors.
Rav Zera is using this Mishnah as a proof of what Rav Yossi holds. So that's what we have to figure out, how exactly it proves the point. That's right. Okay. And what is he referring to when he says things that are brought from outside to be placed inside? By that he means the coals that are taken every day for the daily ketores, with perhaps the shachas or perhaps ben habayim twice a day, which the gamri and the gecholim shayyem asporim, which we learn that from the coals of Yom Kippur, just like the ones of Yom Kippur, it says in the pasuk that they have to be taken melifnei Hashem. So also the ones for the daily tzedakah are also taken from the same area, melifnei Hashem. Okay. So now we understand what Rabbi Yossi is saying by his rule. Right, this siman that he has over here, now we understand which two things he's referring to. That he's referring to where the bazichim go, where the bazichim levoina are burnt, and where the coals for the daily kurdus come from. Now both of those, again, we see from the Mishnah and Talmud before, both of those use the same pyre on the Mizbeach. They both use the Ma'aroch HaShniya Shokhtar. From the Ma'aroch HaShniya Shokhtar, this is where they take the coals for the daily kurdus, and on that Ma'aroch HaShniya Shokhtar, this is where they burn the levoina of the Lachem HaBanim. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi is saying that one pile, which is used,
is
something that's brought from inside the heichal. It's frankincense. It's a spice. Yeah, it's a spice. But yeah. So Rabbi Yossi is telling us that pile of firewood, which is set on fire, the Ma'aroch HaShniya Shokhtaris, has to be as close as possible to the heichal. Now that we understand that, now we have to figure out then how. If we assume, says Reb Zera, that the Mishnah in Talmud represents Reb Yossi's opinion, and presumably it does, because Reb Yossi is the one who insists that these things have to take place as close as possible to the Heichel, then it must be, so we're saying the Mishnah in Talmud represents his opinion. So now let's figure out why is the Mishnah in Talmud telling us that the Ma'aroch HaShniya is located exactly where it is. So we have to ask Umay Kasava. So what does Reb Yossi hold exactly as far as the position of the Mizbeach? E kasava kulam mizbeach v'jardim koyu. Let's start. Suppose that Rabbi Yossi were to hold that the entire mizbeach is located in the southern half of the Azara, which we said before Rabbi Yossi would be able to hold. So Rabbi Zeta is going to go through the possibilities and reject them until we find out
right.
So if he were to hold the whole mizbeach is in the south, then no. Then the putting it close to the southwestern corner wouldn't work because it's not in front of it, it's further away. In fact, Esrim B'sheva Boilamaisi, the proper place to put it then would be 27 Amos from the southern edge of the Mizbeach, which is 5 Amos from its northern edge, which would place it right in front of the door. Or the Inami Kasava Kedushas Heichel V'Ulam Chodihi, or let's say Rabbi Yossi would say it's good enough if you have it not directly in front of the door of the Heichel, as long as you have it directly in front of the door of the Ulam. The door of the Ulam, which is the door of the Heichel, is 10 Amos wide. So five in the north, 5 in the south. The door of the Ulam is twice as wide. It's 20 amos wide. 10 in the north, 10 in the south. So let's say Rabbi Yossi were to hold that the Kedusha of the Heichal and the Kedusha of the Ulam is on an equal level, which in fact is a point. Tosfos says, the Gemara actually discusses in a number of places, including we had earlier in our Masechta, that question. Is the Ulam considered to have the same level of Kedusha as the Heichal?
If it was the same, then the width of the door should be the same also.
No, not necessarily. The width of the door is that's the blueprint that Hashem gave. I call it Ksav Miyad Hashem. But there is room to argue that the Kedusha of the Ulam is the same as the Kedusha of the Heichel. We learned earlier in the Masechta, for example, you have the question, therefore, let's say, for example, could the Lechem Afanim, let's say, could the Shulchan usually is here inside the Heichel, could it conceivably be placed inside the Ulam and still be valid? If you say that the Kedusha of the Heichel and the Kedusha of the Ulam is the same, then you could conceivably do that. There's a couple of other places the Gemara discusses that point. Anyway, if we say that Yossi were to say that the Kedusha of the Ulam is equal to the Kedusha of the Heichel, fine, then he could argue that as long as the Ma'aroch HaShniya Shokhtar is someplace in front of the door of the Ulam, then you're also good. But even so, you still can't have it so close to the southwest corner. Esrim B'tarti Bari Nasi. It would still have to be 22 amos away from the corner, at least, in order to be in front of the door. Because then you'd have, again, if he held the whole Mizbeach is in the south, 32 amos wide, 10 amos of it would be in front of the door of the Ulam, the other 22 would not, which means you'd have to move it at least 22 amos away from the southern corner, closer to the northern corner.
So
and the mission is
32 should be close.
Well, that's what we have to figure out. That's what we're going to eliminate all the possibilities. But so far, in other words, Reb Zera is saying, if we assume that the Mishnah in Talmud that describes where this Ma'aroch HaShniya Shokhtaris is located, if we assume that that represents the opinion of Reb Yossi, then there's no way that Reb Yossi could say the Mizbeach is completely in the southern half of the Azara. Because it wouldn't work, because then you'd have, it's not at the closest possible point to the Heichal. In order to be that, it would have to be either 27 or 22 amos away from that corner, as the case may be. 27 away from the southern end, meaning 5 amos from the, further north, right. Okay, next, let's try the next possibility. The ikasava chesti v'tzofen v'chesti v'jorim. Next, let's try another possibility. Fine, maybe Rav Yossi would hold that the Mizbeach is exactly in the middle of the Azara, half in the north, half in the south. Well, then still, then still then the southwestern corner is not quite in front of the door. Chadsei Bari Lamesi, then fine. You would at least have to have you'd have to move it at least 11 amos from the southern edge in order to be in front of the door of the Hegel. And again, the Ella Kasava Kadusha Hegel Ulam Padamilti. And fine, even if you were to argue that the Ulam also counts for that purpose and the Ulam has a wider door, fine, she's Bari Lamesi. Nevertheless, you would still need 6 amos at least for it to be closer to the door. In order, you need to have it at least 6 amos from the edge in order to be in front of the door of the Ulam.
Correct.
Right. So far none of that works. Ela lav mishum dekasava kolam izbeach asafen koi. So says Rav Zera, by elimination we must say therefore that if we assume the mission is like Rav Yossi, he must hold therefore the entire mizbeach is in the northern half of the Azara. And therefore the northern half of the Azara. So in other words, from the right, exactly. Right. So therefore, Vahani Arba Amis, Ami Yasod, Vahama Sod, Vahama Makam Kronis, Vahama Makam Ragla Kronis. So why is he saying it should be 4 Amis away from the edge? Why doesn't he say put it right at the edge? The reason is because, after all, the edge is also in front of the door. Why is he moving it 4 Amis in, according to that? The reason is because of practicality, because you have an Amma, which, when you say the Mizbeach is 32 Amis, that includes the Amma, which is the Yasod. You can't very well put it on there. You have an Amma of the Sloiver, the ledge that goes in from the higher up on the Mizbeach. You can't put it over there either. Then you have, when you get to the top of the Mizbeach, you have one Amma by each edge, by each corner is taken up by the Kronos. And that constitutes basically a strip running around the edges. That's considered the Makom HaKronos. And then within, inside of that, you have one more strip, an Amma wide, that goes around the Mizbeach, which is Makom HaHiluch Ragle HaKohanim. That is the place, that's the walkway for the Kohanim. Namely, when the Kohanim have to walk on the top of the Mizbeach, you can't make them walk right around the edge of the top of the Mizbeach. First of all, they might fall off. But second of all, also, you have the Kronos in each corner. They could trip over them. Therefore, they have, inside of the area taken up by the Kronos, you have, inside of that strip, so to speak, around the Mizbeach, which includes the Kronos, you have another strip, an Amma wide, running
inside the...
Here. In other words... Right, inside the gray zone, right. It's hard to see in this picture because it's small, but I'll redraw it larger. Let's say this is the Mizbeach. And you have a keren at each corner, so you can't expect them to walk around the edges over there. Instead, what they did is they designated another area, an amma wide, within that, and that's what the keren, that area over there is what the keren walk. So once you subtract that, so again, you have one for the soviv, which surrounds that on a lower level, another one for the yisod, which surrounds that on a lower level, around two complete sides and part of a little one. So once you have, then you have 1, 2, 3, 4, and then already the first place you can put the pile of wood is over here in order not to get in the way of the keren. So, but if we understand it that way, then it comes out that is why Rabbi Yossi is said that, then that's why the Mishnah would be telling us that you put it 4 amos in from the edge. Because the edge, meaning not the edge of the top of the Mizbeach, but the edge of the footprint of the Mizbeach, which begins with the Yisod.
One question.
Yeah.
Since the Mizbeach has to be as close as possible to the...
Not the Mizbeach, but the pile of wood.
The pile of wood.
Yeah.
Where do we get it that the Mizbeach is really equidistant from the Ulam, the doors of the Ulam, to...
We never said the Mizbeach has to be as close as possible. What we said is the pile of wood has to be on the closest possible spot on the Mizbeach to the Hekel. Well, given that the place of the Mizbeach between east and west is fixed, it's only between north and south that we have this variation that we're talking about over here, then that's it. Necessarily, it has to be 22 amos away from the Hekel. That's just how it is.
Right, but east and west...
Between east and west, that's fixed.
From... What is the measurement?
Again, you have 22, 32, 22, and then 100 for the Hegel and 11 for behind.
So it has to be 22
east. 22 and 22
west.
Right. Okay. So that's a given. So what we mean is on the Mizbeach itself, this Ma'aroch HaShnia should be as close as possible to the door. So now we can understand why that Mishnah and Talmud would be saying you put it 4 amos away from the edge. The only reason you're not putting it closer to the edge is because of practicality, because you can't put it in the way of the Kohanim or whatever, because the Kohanim have to be able to walk and you need space for the Kronos and so forth. But other than that,
it would be close.
Okay, right. Fine. And the point is, Now there you go then, and that explains why you don't put it any further out, because if you do, then it's not going to be in front of the door. Because now, if you put further towards the north, given that the whole Mizbeach is in the north, you only have therefore 5 amas to work with. that constitutes the northern half of the door of the Heichal. Let's assume that the Ulam is not considered part of the Heichal for that purpose. So then you only have five amas to work with if you were to move the pile of wood any further out. It wouldn't be directly in front of the door. Therefore, you have to put it in that fifth amma. Okay. Fine. However,
that's where
Rabbi Yehuda says, that is where Rabbi Yochanan deduced that Rabbi Yossi must hold the entire Mizbeach in the northern half of the Ulam. But Amr of Adaba Abba, but Rabbi Adaba Abba says not necessarily, can you prove anything from that? Because you could argue Hamani Rabbi Yehudi, because you could argue instead that the Mishnah in Tumid that describes where the Ma'arach HaShniyah is located, you could argue that that Mishnah rather is a coincidence of Yehuda. The Tanya, namely we learn in a Brayt, Rabbi Yehuda Oymer Mizbeach M'mutzava Oymer Be'emsa Hazara, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Mizbeach is exactly in the middle of the Hazara.
Middle meaning north and south,
right? The Mizbeach was 32 amos in each direction. So if it's in the middle of the Azara, if it's centered directly in front of the door, then it comes out, well, but what it means is in terms of, let's talk about how it is relative to the door of the Heichal. Again, the door of the Heichal is also centered from north to south. 20. And it's 10 amas wide. The Ulam is 20. The Heichal is 10.
Okay.
So therefore, what you have is, so Esther amas connected Pischa Shal Heichal. So it comes out 10 amas of the Mizbeach. 10 amas of the Mizbeach are exactly in front of the door of the Heichal, because the door of the Heichal is 10 amas wide. Achas Esther Mikan, Va'achas Esther Mikan. Then you have 11 sticking out in each direction. 11 plus 10 plus 11 equals 32. Nimsa Mizbeach Mechoven connected Heichal. And thus you find that the Mizbeach is exactly parallel to the Heichal, which actually means, actually what it is then you have the walls of the Heichal themselves, they're not really shown, and they're not shown very clearly in this diagram, but what you actually have over here is the walls of the Heichal themselves were six amas thick. So if you have actually, so then you have the walls of the Ulam, I think one of them was five and one of them was six. I think the front wall was five and the back wall was six. Whatever it is, the point is the northern and southern walls of the Heichal were six each.
Okay.
So therefore, what you actually have is if you consider from the beginning of the wall, you have six amas of wall, 10 amas of doorway, six amas of wall equals 22. And then you start having the toy, and you have those side chambers on the side that went all around the Heichal. So the point is, therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda is saying that actually, what you find is I got that wrong. What it is like this. The door of the Heichal was 10 amas wide, but the entire Heichal was 20. I'm talking about the door of the Heichal from north to south was 10 amas wide. The entire Heichal was 20 amas wide. In other words, when you walked into the Heichal, if you looked at the doorway over there, you'd have five amas on one side of the door, of one doorpost, then 10 amas of space, which is the doorway, and another five amas for the other doorpost, total 20. Then the walls of the Heichal themselves, as I said, are six amas thick. So what you actually have then is, if you were to draw it out,
the door, which is 10.
So the door is 10, the entire five and five, and then you have, and the walls are six. So if you, in other words, if you draw out the walls, If you draw out, I'm not doing a very good job drafting this over here, but if you draw out the walls, it comes out that the walls are exactly parallel to the width of the Mizbeach, because you have 6, 20, and 6.
6, 20,
6, 20 and 6. 32. Which is exactly parallel to the width of the Mizbeach, which is also 32. Right. So if Yehuda says, in other words, if you were to draw lines from the north side of the Mizbeach, that would exactly reach exactly run along the outside wall of the Heichal, and the same thing on the other side. That's what he means. That's Mechoven connected Heichal, Nimtz Mizbeach, Mechoven connected Heichal. Thus, you find Mizbeach is exactly in front of the Heichal, Ksalov, Shittim, Kabrathus, and its walls, because the 32 amas width of the Mizbeach exactly parallels the 32 amma width of the wall, the inside of the Heichal on the other wall.
Yeah, but that's including the doorposts.
No, the doorposts themselves are part of the thick now, part of the...
Yeah, you cannot see the Heichal inside.
No. When you walk into the Heichal, you're standing inside a space that's 20 amas wide.
Right.
To get in there, you go through a door that's 10 amas wide. If you were to turn around now and face towards the east, you would see doorposts of five amas on either side of you.
Right.
But you have 5, 10, and 5. The whole width of the room is 20 amas.
Right.
Then you have outside of where you're standing. You're standing in an area marked off by walls. Those walls themselves are 6 amas wide. In other words, if you were looking at a floor plan of the Beis Hamikdash, 6 amas thickness. So if you were to look at a floor plan of a bird's eye view of the Beis Hamikdash, you would find a 6 amah wall. You would find a 6 amah wall,
right.
A 20 amah wide room,
right.
And another 6 amah wall that equals 32.
Right.
32.
Right.
So that's the same width as the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Yehuda says that it was all lined up.
Right.
Okay.
So what I was saying is that here, part of this width, these 6 and 6 here, are not really within the Eichel itself. It's just the door.
They were the outside of the Eichel. No. They're the outside of the Eichel. They're between the Eichel and the Toyim, and the chambers surrounding it.
Okay.
So anyway, the point is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Mizbeach is exactly centered in the middle of the Azara.
Right.
So therefore he might well say that the place where we assigned to the Maracha is also a valid place, and it's also in front of the door. So the question is, we have to figure out how. Why? In that case, then it would come out, if you go according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would come out, you should have to have the Maracha Shnia 11 amos away from the edge. Because, again, according to him, if the Mizbeach is exactly in front of the Hekel, what's the closest spot to the door, what's the closest spot running down from the door of the Hekel? Okay. Running down from the door of the Hekel along the dotted line over here is a line that runs 11 amos into the Mizbeach.
Right.
So if you're putting it forward, then it's not the closest spot.
Right.
So how can you say the Mishnah goes like in? If he allows that it can be in front of the door of the Ulam, because let's say he holds the Ulam has the same Kedusha as the Hekel, fine. Chodemilsi, then shift by the Mesi, you still need it 6 amas away from the edge. So how are you of Adaba Abba trying to think that the Mishnah works according to Rabbi Yehuda? If it says 4 amas away from the edge, 4 is not 6, it's not 11, so how does that work? The answer is Mi Sabra Tani Arba Amas Zahadi Ama Yesod Amas Sovid. You're assuming when Reb Zera wanted to say that the Mishnah goes like Reb Yossi, he assumed that when we say 4 amas, we mean from the edge of the Yesod. So you have an Ama Yesod, an Ama Sovid, an Ama of the Kronos, and an Ama of the Kohenim's walkway. And then he says you put the Maracha directly beyond that.
Then it's a Mishnah.
Fine. Fine, Rabbi Yehuda does not have to understand it that way. If we say the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda, he may mean you're not counting the Yesod, you're not counting the Sovid for this purpose, you're counting from the top edge, from the top edge of the Mizbeach, from the edge of the body of the Mizbeach, not the Sovid and the Yesod, which are ledges that stick out further down from it. The top of the Mizbeach is 28 amos wide.
Right.
So then, if you count 4 amas from the edge of that, you're 6 amas from the edge of from the edge of the Yesod. So therefore, we can make that work. We can say then that if we said the Mishnah meant like Rabbi Yossi, then it means literally 4 amas from the edge of the Yesod. You have Yesod, Sovev, Kronos, walkway for the Kohenim, and you put it immediately after that. Rabbi Yehuda might be saying rather that what you do is as follows. You don't count the Yesod. Start counting from the top edge of the Mizbeach itself, count 4 amas, place the Maracha over there, and that is right in front of the edge of the, that's right in front of the edge of the door of the Olam. So therefore, we can make that Mishnah work according to Rabbi Yehuda also. We don't have to say it's according to Rabbi Yossi, and therefore, we don't necessarily have a proof from that Rabbi Yossi says anything about the position of the Mizbeach.
We know that Rabbi Yehuda would do it.
Because we know Rabbi Yehuda says that it's in the middle. He said that we just quoted a braisa where he explicitly says that. That's the thing. What we're trying to figure out is, Rabbi Yochanan had said that Rabbi Yossi holds that it's all in the north. We're trying to figure out what the proof for that.
Right.
So Rabbi Zera tried to bring a proof from this Mishnah and Talmud. But we're saying not necessarily, because that Mishnah and Talmud could represent the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. No, it could fit. It would fit according to Rabbi Yossi. If we say that the Mizbeach is all in the northern half. But we could also make it work according to Rabbi Yehuda by saying that the 4 amas does not include the Yesod and the Soviv, and Rabbi Yehuda says the Mizbeach is in the middle of the Azara, and by saying also that Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's good enough if the pile of wood is in front of the door of the Ulam rather than the door of the Hekel. Okay. So no proof.
But
So no proof. However, the Gemara asked for noise maker of Yosi over the Musa. Fine, but if you're going to go that way anyway, what makes you... Okay, so you want to say that the Mishnah is not necessarily like Rav Yosi, namely that Rav Yosi doesn't necessarily hold us all in the northern half. Fine. But at least, what makes you say that the Mishnah... What makes you challenge Rav Zera on two things? Number one, the Mishnah is not appointed of Yosi, but appointed of Yehuda. And number two, that it means the Mizbeach, it's not implying that the Mizbeach is in the north, but rather in the center. At least, the Noitmikr of Yosi, at least let's concede to Rav Zera on one thing. The Mishnah does go like Rav Yosi, but of a Mamusa, fine. We would say Rav Yosi doesn't hold that it's in the north. We would just hold that Rav Yosi says it's in the middle of the, that it's in the middle of the, that's in the middle of the Azar.
Say that
Rav Yosi holds that the Mizbeach is in the middle of the Azara, and therefore that, and we can say the same explanation we just used to make the four Amos work according to Rav Yehuda. We can use according to Rav Yosi. Again, we don't necessarily have. If we're saying that we don't have a solid proof that Rav Yosi holds where the place of the Mizbeach is, where it is relative between north and south, we could just as well accept Rav Zera's position that the Mishnah does go like Rav Yosi. But say, okay, Rav Yosi doesn't hold it all in the north, like Rav Yochanan said he did. Rather, he holds it in the middle.
Now, we're saying that Rav Yosi doesn't hold that it's in the north.
We don't know at this point, though. We don't know. We don't have a proof. That's what we're asking.
Initially, we thought from this Mishnah,
we have a proof that he holds it in the north.
Right.
But now we said no, because we can just as well understand the Mishnah if we say the Mishnah is exact, that the Mizbeach is exactly between north and south, and that the four Amos is from the top edge of the Mizbeach, not from the edge of the east side. But once you do that, why take the Mishnah away from Rav Yosi and assign it to Rav Yehuda? You might as well at least say that the Mishnah goes according to Rav Yosi, but Rav Yosi holds differently than
when
what
you, when you take off the edge, you can make the Mishnah work like Rav Yosi.
If you say Rav Yosi doesn't necessarily hold us in the north. Why is Rav Adaba Abba stating as a fact that the Mishnah must be according to Rav Yehuda and not according to Rav Yosi? The answer is Mishnah de Rav Yehuda Shmainalei Mamusa Behedya. The reason is, fine, maybe Rav Yosi does say that, but the fact is we do explicitly see that Rav Yehuda says that.
So therefore,
we have more reason to say the Mishnah goes like Rav Yehuda. Fine, maybe it goes like Rav Yosi also, but at least we know for a fact it goes like Rav Yehuda. That's Rav Adaba Abba's point.
And that we know for sure.
We know for sure because we quoted a brayso of Yehuda Omer Mizbeach Mamusa Omer Ben Fazara.
Okay.
So of necessity, therefore, Rashi says that also what it would mean is the concept that Rav Yosi said before that everybody agreed that the concept that Rav Yosi said before about the cold for the daily Torahs and the place where the Lavoina is burnt has to be as close as possible to the Heichal. Let's say everybody agrees. But Rav Yehuda would say it on the basis. Rav Yehuda would therefore understand that they would place this pile of wood 6 amos away from the edge of the Mizbeach, which is 4 amos away from the top edge, because he holds that it's good enough as long as it's in front of the door of the Olam. That's considered as close as possible. Whereas Rav Yosi, we don't know what he would hold. Maybe he holds it in the north, maybe not.
So no proof.
But the point is, in other words, that's why Rav Adaba Abba is insisting that the Mishnah is like Rav Yehuda, because we do see Rav Yehuda has that opinion.
The only thing for sure is that
Rav Yehuda definitely holds that way. Whether Rav Yehuda holds, we don't know. Okay. Rav Shrevya says, here's a different answer. I can tell you what we mean by the 4 amos away from the edge of the Mizbeach and the Mishnah and Talmud. We are talking about the 4 amos includes the Yisoid and the Soid. Not like we were just saying right now that it only counts from the top, but that it excludes it. But we can give a different answer. That, because we can say, Hamani Rav Yosi Agrivi, because we can say that Mishnah goes according to Rav Yosi Agrivi. So Rav Yochanan at the beginning of the Sugya are two different people. Rav Yosi plain is Rav Yosi Rav Chalashka. So we don't necessarily, so Rav Shrevya argues, we don't necessarily have Rav Yosi Agrivi, we don't know who his father was, at least not that I know of. We call him Rav Yosi Agrivi because he came from the Galil. The Pashtus at that time, most of the Chachamim came from the south of Eretz Yisrael, so somebody who came from the Galil was unusual, and therefore they called him by the place he came from. Okay, anyway. So you can say that, therefore, that Mishnah in Talmud is according to Rav Yosi Agrivi. So therefore, you could say, in other words, that, again, fine. You have Rav Yosi made the point before that the pile of coal has to be as close as possible to the Heichal. Fine, let's say everybody agrees with that. But from Rav Yosi himself, we don't necessarily have a clear proof what he holds, where the Mizbeach should be located. Wherever it is, he would hold the pile of coal has to be as close as possible to that. But the Mishnah and Talmud would go specifically according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili might be the one who says that the Mizbeach is completely in the northern half of the Azara. Not necessarily would Rabbi Yossi, but Halakha say that. So still no proof.
Why don't we think that Rabbi Yossi HaGlili...
That's what we're going to see. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, Mitoch Shenema ben Asateh HaKir ben Oyo Moed Begoyme. Now the Pasuk says, on the one hand, the Kir, the basin that the Kohenim wash their hands and feet from, that has to be placed. It says it should go bein oil moed or bein mizbeach. It should go between the oil moed, meaning the heichal, and the mizbeach. So on the one hand, so that pasuk makes it sound like it should be right in between them. But because of but another pasuk says the es mizbeach oil of a gomer. On the other hand, another pasuk later in Pekudei, when it describes how Moshe actually set up the mishkan, it says mizbeach oil he placed in front of the door of the oil moed, implying the Kiyor was past the Oyel Moed, implying the Kiyor was not located in front of the door of the Oyel Moed. So what is it? You have one pasuk implying that you should have the Mizbeach, then the Kiyor, then the Oyel Moed. And you have another pasuk that implies you have the Mizbeach directly in front of the Oyel Moed without anything in between them except for empty space. So what is it? How do you reconcile those two? Rabbi Yossi HaGlili says, Heichon Hoyon Noisne, so where did they put the Kiyor in order to satisfy both these pasukim?
The Kiyor is always...
That's what we have to figure out. That's what we haven't gotten to that point yet. That's what we have to figure out. That all Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is saying so far is like this. Based on the one pasuk, you would say the kiyor has to be here, directly between the oil moed and the mizbeach.
Right.
But based on the other pasuk, it sounds like the kiyor should not be between them because you need to have nothing separating between those. So what do you do?
Where would it be?
So that's the question. Okay. So they're not okay. Heichan hoyer noisne. So where do they place the kiyor in order to satisfy both of these pesukim? Beina ulam ulam mizbeach. They did place it between the ulam and the mizbeach. Meaning, in other words, in this strip over here, the 22 amma wide strip that separates them. Moshuch kima klapei adorim. However, it was moved away from opposite the corner of the mizbeach towards the south. So therefore, in other words, it wasn't literally here between the mizbeach and the oil moed. It was rather over here, let's say. So that way, it's in the space between the oil moed and the mizbeach, but at the same time, it's not separating between the oil moed and the mizbeach.
Because the mizbeach is
well, that's what we have to figure out again, based on this price that we're going to analyze and we're going to see what Rabbi Yossi HaGlili holds about the position of the mizbeach. We have to figure that out. But first, we have the basic fact that Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is saying the kiyor was not directly between the mizbeach and the heichal; it was further off to the south. So now let's analyze that. My kasala.
It was facing the kibbutz.
Yeah, could be. So now we have to figure out, given that braisa, my kasala. So now what does Rabbi Yossi HaGlili hold? So now Rabbi Shrevia says, based on this braisa, what does Rabbi Yossi HaGlili hold about the positioning of the mizbeach? E kasala kol mizbeach b'dorim koi. If he holds that the entire mizbeach was on the southern half of the Azara, Then what's the problem? Then what's the problem? Most of the mizbeach is not in front of the door, because if you said the whole mizbeach is in the southern half, then what do you have over here? Then you would say that most of the mizbeach is not in front of the door at all. So what's the problem? Put the kiyor over here, and you're not separating between the mizbeach and pacify your mind. Bein olam l'mizbeach. So put it in the space bein olam l'mizbeach, and that 22 amos thing. Put it next to the mizbeach. You don't have to move it away from the edge of the mizbeach, and then it's no problem. Mizbeach between the mizbeach and the pesach hayom moed, you don't have it.
So by necessity, you have to say the mizbeach is.
That's what we have to figure out. That's where we're going to work out the three possibilities. By the way, I mean, you know, in the previous discussion also, you know, Mefoshim pointed out the Gemara could have, when we went through all the three possibilities, we could have mentioned a fourth possibility also. We could have said, okay, the Mizbeach was more in the north than in the south, or more in the south than in the north. We could have made that work with the numbers. However, so far, we only find these three opinions about the place of the Mizbeach. It was all in the north, it was all in the south, it was in the middle. We don't really find any other one, so we can't just make up another opinion of our own. Now, with that said, I mentioned briefly at the end yesterday that Rambam does hold a fourth opinion. That Rambam understands that the Mishnayos and Midas are actually presenting a fourth possible opinion about how the Mizbeach was located. And according to the Rambam's understanding of it, which is how he writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, it comes out most of the Mizbeach was indeed on the south side of the Azara, but seven amos of it stuck into the north.
So
it would also come out.
It was south of the door.
So it was mostly south. So according to the Rambam, what it is like this. Taking this diagram, for example, with the Mizrach being all in the south,
right.
It means you have 10 amos from there until the edge of the door of the Ola.
Right.
The Rambam would hold that the Mizrach occupied 7 of those amos. In other words, if you were to walk out the door of the Olam, if you looked straight ahead of you, if you were walking in the three amos closest to the northern doorpost, you wouldn't have the Mizrach in front of you. If you walked out of any of the other 17 amos of it, you would. So that's how the Rambam holds, and the Lechem Mishnah actually discusses where exactly does the Rambam get that from, based on his analysis of Midot, but also what is he doing with the whole Gemara that we're discussing over here, that the pile of wood has to be as close as possible to the Heichal. According to the Rambam, it's still not, because the Rambam does bring the Mishnah in Tumah that's 4 amos away from the edge, and in that case that is further away, it's not directly in front of the door. So the Lechem Mishnah discusses at some length that the Rambam would hold. Not like Rashi, that this whole statement that we were saying before, that the pile of wood has to be as close as possible to the door, yes. Is only the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. It's not necessarily everybody else's opinion, and therefore we're entitled to have it. In fact, Tosfos, by the way, also points out, even according to Rabbi Yossi, we're not saying it's possible if you take it from any place else, just that the ideal place to put it. The Rambam would hold, that's only according to Rabbi Yossi anyway. The Chachamim would disagree with him, therefore you're entitled to put it wherever you want, and therefore they can put it near the southwestern corner. That's how the Lechem Mishnah explains it. Okay. Anyway. So going back to the Gemara over here. Okay. So Rav Yossi Agudi. Again, if he holds the whole Mizbeach is in the south and there's no problem, the Kiyo can be someplace between the wall of the Mizbeach and the wall of the Olam without being between the Mizbeach and the door. So you don't have to move it away further to over here, so it's not next to the Mizbeach. And fine, even let's say again he holds the kedusha of the ulam is the same as the kedusha of the heichal. Fine, so you got to move it a little further away. Notably, because the ulam the ladorim, the vein ulam on the back. Fine, so you move it over a little further, so it's not in front of the door of the ulam either. So it's not only not in front of the door of the heichal, the kiyo, yeah. Again, if Rabbi Yosef really is saying that based on the implications of the pasuk, you have to have the kiyo not next to the mizbeach at all, but rather in the corner, like over here, then the question is why would he be saying that? If he held the whole Mizbeach is in the southern half, then you could put it even over here, for example, and it wouldn't be in front of the door of the Heichal. If you're going to say you can't put it in front of the door of the Olam, fine, you can put it over here.
In other words, it cannot be between the Mizbeach and the door.
We know from a pasuk that it can't be between the Mizbeach and the door, but fine.
Anywhere else?
If the Mizbeach is in the southern half, no problem. You have plenty of places you can put it next to the Mizbeach. So let's go on. Fine. If Rabbi Yossi really holds that the Mizbeach is in the middle, like we said before, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the Mizbeach is exactly centered in front of Chetzi B'Tzof and Chetzi B'Darim, exactly centered in front of the Heichel, fine. Still, you have plenty of places next to the Mizbeach where you could put it. Nekmen the coastal Heichel B'Ladarim, Nekmen the coastal Ulam B'Ladarim, and Ulam B'Mizbeach, then, Nekmen the coastal Heichel B'Ladarim, and Ulam B'Mizbeach. Fine. Then again, you have, here's the edge of the door of the Heichel, so you can put it anywhere within these 11 hours, next to the Mizbeach. Or the Inami Chasava Kedusha Ha'ulam V'Heichel Chodi, or even if he holds, you have to consider the Kedusha of the Ulam as well. Maybe that's equal to the Kedusha of the Heichel. Fine, you still have 6 Amos to work with. 6 Amos from the edge of the door of the Ulam until the edge of the Mizbeach. That you can put it inside. And Nokem in the Kosa Ulam, Ladram Ben Ulam on there. Ela Lav Misham to Chasava Kulam Mizbeach Chasafen. It must be, by elimination, that Rabbi Yossi Aglivi holds the entire Mizbeach is in the northern half of the Azara. That's how we prove, exactly. That's how it seems to prove that he holds it all in the northern half of the Azara. So now you have a problem. You can't put it, so what do you do? So now, the problem is like this. You can't put it on this side because it has to be on the south side.
The Kiyo
has to be on the south side, as we're going to say in a minute. So therefore, necessarily, you can't put it between the Ulam and the Mizbeach on this side, because that would be in the northern half of the Azara. So of necessity, therefore, you have to put it someplace over here. So that way,
if you cannot put it here,
because that would be in front of the door. Well, so that's the thing. Okay, so fine. Maybe fine. So maybe according to that, right. So maybe you could put it in that space in front of the door, but not in front of the mezbeach. Right. But the point is, in other words, it would be south. It would have to be south of the mezbeach without being in front of the mezbeach. That's the point. That's how we're saying that Rabbi Yitzchak really evidently holds the entire mezbeach is in the northern half. So therefore, kinami mukmislam koisal hechav alasafin. So now, if you were to place it anywhere between the wall of the hechol and north of that, havel had been ulam lamizbeach, and it would be between the ulam and the mizbeach. And you can't do that because you have the other pasuk implying that the mizbeach has to be directly in front of the ulam without anything in between. Okay, so the question is, in that case, if that's all Rabbi Yosef Agrili is saying, why do you have to move it all the way over here? After all, you do have the implication of the pasuk that the kiyo is between the oil murid and the mizbeach. So as much as possible, we should be trying to fulfill that. Fine, in that case, why don't we say you put the kiyo over here? Who says the kiyo has to be on the south side at all? Put it on the north side, between the mizbeach and without putting it in front of the door, and that way you're also Makai and both took it. So the notion of the coastal ulam alasaf and the vein ulam on the mizbeach. Why don't we put it between the wall of the ulam and the northern and the western side of the mizbeach, which would be in the northern half of the azara, outside of view of the door, right? The vein ulam on the mizbeach. The answer is, Rabbi Yitzchak Zuli would say you can't do that on a krot safoina, because the pasuk says that you shech karbanas safoina in the north, right. Implying she had safin ponim kalim, implying the entire safin has to be empty of kalim. And the what do you call it? The kier is a kalim. The kier is a kalim. Kier is a kalim. So therefore, the pasuk is implying that the pasuk, because safoina means the north, and so, meaning, in other words, because Rashi explains, so the pasuk could have just said, Al Yerucham Zech Sofon. Sofon means
Sofon.
No, is a ribu, he says, for a drasha, so therefore it teaches us that the entire Sofon has to be empty. Okay. So therefore you would have to put it on the south side of necessity. Right. Okay. Tosis points out, now what about then? I mean, the Mizbeach is also a Kedi. So then you would the one in the Beth Mikdash was because it was permanently built into the ground. The one that Moshe made was the one that was made in Moshe's time was a keli. They carried it with them. Yeah, of course it was a keli. They carried it with the rest of the keli on the Mishkan. They didn't build a new one each time. The reason is Tosfos says because the pasuk is saying safoina regarding the mizbeach. So Al Yerucham mizbeach safoina, implying the mizbeach itself can be someplace on the north side, but nothing else. Also, Tosfos points out, by the way, in the Beis Hamikdash, you did have things on the north side of here. In the space between the mizbeach and the northern wall, you had the rings that were attached to the ground. You had the tables where they skinned the korban. The answer is because all those are needed. All those are needed for the shita, for the skinning.
So
those are allowed.
It has to be empty.
On the face of it, it sounds like it has to be empty. So the answer is it wasn't actually empty. You had the tabarit and the nanosin and whatever over there. But that's different because those are all needed for the shita. You can't have the kier is not directly related to the shita, so it can't be there.
Why? They wash their hands before.
They wash their hands before. Fine. They wash their hands before they do the avodah in general, but it's not directly related to the shita. It's a different avodah. So therefore, that's why Rabbi Yitzchak Levi would say, of necessity, therefore it has to be south of the mizbeach. And since if you put it directly south of the mizbeach, it would be in front of, so that's the point. He would have to hold, therefore, the entire mizbeach is in the northern half.
Sure.
That is why you have to put the kier towards the south. So fine, it can be maybe in front of the door, it can be moved over, or whatever.
Since you have to put the kier in the south, then it's better to be in the north.
That's the point, right. But in other words, the point is, we eliminated the other possibilities, because if you held the mizbeach was in the south or in the middle, then you would have space to put the kiyah between the mizbeach and the oil mayor without it being in front of the door. Okay. So therefore, so we've established, therefore, says Rav Shlevia, that we have Rav Yosiak really saying clearly that by implication anyway, that the mizbeach is in the northern half. So therefore, we can say, again, the Mishnah in Talmud, which told us about the place of Ma'arach HaShniyah Shal Torah, and that it's close to the southwestern corner, that would work according to Rabbi Yosef Agrili. You don't have any proof for Rabbi Yochanan of the original statement that Rabbi Yosef, meaning Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chalasta, would agree with that. Okay. So now the question is, man Tana de Poligale de Rabbi Yosef Agrili? Fine. Which Tana disagrees with Rabbi Yosef Agrili? If Rabbi Yosef Agrili is stating his opinion, implies that there's somebody else who disagrees with him and says that the entire Mizbeach is in the southern half of the Azara. Who is that?
Well,
that's what it is.
Disagrees with Rabbi Yosef?
Well, now we have to find an
someone else in Rabbi Yosef.
Right. Well, we have to find an explicit opinion that says otherwise. That is Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. We can find the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, who disagrees with that, because the Tanya, we're learning a braisa, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Safoina, when the Pasuk says this is that the Korbanos are shechted in the wood, and again we said Safoina means that it has to be empty of Kalim, means she hates Safon, Ponim and Mikalim, but we don't mean on means not like you, Rav Yezdeh, really are saying the Mizbeach itself can be in the north. Just the Kiyo can't. It means no Kalim can be in the north. Not even the Mizbeach itself. Therefore, of necessity, he says the whole Mizbeach is in the south. Okay.
So one says in the north.
So you have Rabbi Yehuda, we said before, says it's in the middle. Rabbi Yosef really says it's in the north. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says it's in the south. Yeah. And again, you have the Rambam who understands that it's mostly in the south, but partially in the north, because that's his the Mishnah in Midos, the Rambam understands the Mishnah in Midos, which by the way, the Gemara tells us in Yuma, that the Mishnayos in Midos are basically according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But Rambam understands that those Mishnayos themselves are saying that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov just means that most of the Mizbeach has to be in the south. But a little bit of it, 7 amos of it, can stick into the north. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Northern part, it would be in the north.
So some of it is in the north, that's the thing. So again, okay, but according to the Rambam, that's acceptable, according to Rabbi Elazar ben
Yaakov. No, I don't say that, because
Okay.
Everything is in the south, including the northern part of the Mizbeach. How would it fit Safoina?
So apparently, the Lacha Mishnah talks about it at some length, but apparently the Rambam would understand, based on Mishnayos and Midos, that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov would say, as long as most of Safoina is empty of Kalim, then fine. It doesn't matter if a little bit of the Mizbeach skipped out in there, especially keep in mind also, primarily we're talking about the placement of the Mizbeach in the Beis Mikdash. The Mizbeach in the Beis Mikdash, anyway, as we're going to say later on in the Gemara, again, the size of it is somewhat flexible. We mentioned yesterday the possibility that you could shrink it. We're going to have later on the possibility that you could enlarge it. We're talking about the Mizbeach system.
Huh?
We're talking about the Mizbeach system.
Right.
But so the point is, in other words, we said it could be, so we could say, so maybe the Rambam could understand that maybe Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is saying that it's often should be Poni Mikalim, but if you enlarge the Mizbeach, then you're allowed to enlarge it. All right. New topic. Omer Rav. Mizbeach shenifgam. If the mizbeach becomes damaged, so it's not whole anymore.
Right.
And the Gemara in Cholin actually discusses how much does it need to be damaged in order to be possible. You have one opinion is that even if a fingernail catches in it, it's possible. The halacha is not like that. The Rambam passed in the halacha. Nifgam over here means if there's a tefach deep dent in it, then it would be possible. So if the Mizbeach becomes damaged and there's at least a pepach dent in it,
so
they could repair it, but meanwhile, until they repair it, all korbanos that are shechted there, meaning not there on the Mizbeach, but there in the Azara, are possible. And Rav says, Achronim talk about the question, by the way, does this mean, in other words, only if from then on, from when the Mizbeach is damaged, if you were to shecht the korban as possible, or do we mean even if a korban is shechted before the Mizbeach is damaged, and you didn't have a chance to sprinkle the blood yet, then it would become possible also. Okay, anyway, the point is that all kodshim that are shechted there in the Azara are possible. And Rav says, Mikro hu biyadeinu v'shachachnuhu. We had a pasuk, I knew of a pasuk that expresses this point, but I forgot what pasuk it is.
That if
the mizbeach is pogum and can't be you and can't, well, now tefach we learn in the Gemara over there. But the point is, if the mizbeach is pogum and is possible for use as a mizbeach until it's repaired,
the concept that
all the kodshim that are shechted, they are possible. Rav says, I knew of a pasuk that tells us that idea, but I forgot which pasuk it is. He saw it, Rav Kahana. Sometime later, when Rav Kahana moved from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, this is the famous Rav Kahana, Rapashas, this is the famous Rav Kahana, the story over there where we learned at the end of Baba Kama about that he killed a Moiser, and then he had to escape to Eretz Yisrael, whatever, anyway. So when he came up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashlechelet Rav Shimon Berebi, he met Rav Shimon Berebi, Deka'oma Mishum Rav Yishmael Berebi, where Rav Shimon, the son of Rebbe, was saying in the name of Rav Yishmael Berebi, Minayim Amizbeach Shenifgam, how do we know this concept that if the Mizbeach was damaged, Shekol HaKodshim Shenishchot Shem Solim, that all Kodshim that were shechted there in the Azara are possible? the source of it is Shenema, because the pasuk says, the pasuk that we quoted before in the sugya, "V'zavachta all of us ilasecha v'shlamecha." You should check on it your oilus and your shlam. That's where not a hekesh so much, but we said that we said at the beginning of the sugya before we said that we wanted to say that Rabbi Yossi says it means the entire mizbeach is kosher projecting oilus, and Rabbi Yossi would say only half of it. Anyway, that from that pasuk though, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi takes it in a different way. He asks, Olav after Mizbeach. What do you mean, the Zavachta Olav? You should check on it. You don't check on the Mizbeach. You check next to the Mizbeach.
Yeah,
that's the Mizbeach. Right. Again, you know, we mentioned yesterday that Tosfos learns that Midoraita. We said that the Tosfos learns that Midoraita, you could check on top of the Mizbeach, the Chum made a Zera not to. We learned the possibility that maybe even Daraita you're not allowed to. But there's a concept that the Taz mentions in Yerodea. The Taz mentions a concept. If the Torah is specifically matir something, then the Chachamim do not have the ability to ask for it. So therefore, so that applies over here. If the Torah were to be specifically saying that you can check Torbonus on the Mizbeach, then the Chachamim would not have the ability to tell us you can't.
So
therefore, the Yerach Mizbeach means the side of the Mizbeach. The point is, what do we mean with the Zavachta Olav Asel Mizbeach about Shlomach? What do you mean you should check on it? You're not supposed to check on it. You see, Olav Asel Mizbeach, you don't check on the Mizbeach. No, but that's the point. We can't understand it that way because then the Chachamim would not have the ability to say that not. And the fact that we said in our Mishnah, Sheshochtem Verosh Mizbeach, the Lashon Dieved, implies that clearly you shouldn't be doing it. So therefore, we have to understand the word olav means something different. Olav doesn't mean on it. Olav means because of it. Olav means because of it. It means elatru shalom velatru chaser. It means you can only shech tarbonis by means of it when it's whole and when it's suitable to be used as a mizbeach and not when it's defective, not when it's been damaged.
So where did they check on the
Mizbeach? They didn't check on the Mizbeach. They checked next to the Mizbeach.
Next to the Mizbeach.
But that's the point. In other words, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi is saying like this. On the face of it, the pasuk is Zavachta Olav, meaning you should check on the top of the Mizbeach. But we know that's not so. The proper place to check is next to the Mizbeach. Okay, maybe with the Yevid, you check on top of the Mizbeach, it's kosher, but so what does it mean, Olav? The pasuk is Zavachta Olav, means only when it's suitable to be used as a Mizbeach, then you can check someone because of it. Olav means because of it. The v'loy true chaser, not the only when it's shalom. V'loy true chaser, not when it's lacking, not when it's defective. Okay, but that's how we do it. Omar sort of kind of said, "Oh, tainu krob the ishmit leil rab." That's the pasuk that Rab forgot. That's the pasuk that Rab said. I had a pasuk and then I forgot what it was. That was the pasuk. Okay,
so
that's what it is. So we learned from the pasuk for zavach to all. Okay, so that so all that
only
is
when it is in the
only when it is functional as a mizbeach. Exactly right. Okay, so far what we have is then, so Rav is saying that Kodshim that was shechted there, Apostle, but in other words, Rav would be implying that if you designated an animal for a carbon, you didn't have a chance to shecht it before the Mizbeach was damaged, the carbon doesn't become possible. Once the Mizbeach is fixed, then you can bring the carbon.
So what is
the possible? So again, we have two possibilities that the Acharonim discussed. Does it mean if you shechted it after the Mizbeach was damaged?
Damage.
Or does it mean you shechted it, then the Mizbeach was damaged, and you didn't yet have a chance to sprinkle with blood?
Yeah, after.
Whatever, after Shechita, though, the point is, after the Shechita. Rav would hold, as long as the animal is alive, then it's not Mizbeach. No, it's not, because Rabbi Yechanan would say either way, regardless whether the carbon was shechted or not, it's possible. Any carbon that was designated at the time when the Mizbeach was damaged becomes possible. No, not necessarily. You can wait till they develop a moment and then sell them. Yeah, you have to leave them to graze till they develop a moment. No, Chatois HaMeses, no, leaving them to die specifically with Chatois, and only the five Chatois HaMeses. Mesa when the owner died, when the owner was scattered with another one, Vlad, Tmura, whatever, this isn't one of those. Okay.
So you wait until this one.
Right. But my plea, so what's the underlying machlokas? Famous machlokas that we have in a number of places in Shas. We had it, in fact, earlier in our master. Rav Sama Balachayim Ein Nitzchim, Rav Yechon Sama Balachayim Nitzchim. Rav holds that living animals cannot be Nitzchim. So the fact that it became possible temporarily, because there's no Mizbeach to bring it on, or not there's no Mizbeach, but it's a defective Mizbeach, rather, means that temporarily it became disqualified. But fine, as soon as the Mizbeach is rebuilt, then it's requalified. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan holds Baal HaChaim Nidcha, Rabbi Yechanan Sava, Baal HaChaim Nidcha, and Rabbi Yechanan holds that Baal HaChaim can also be Nidcha, so therefore that's it. It was Nidcha when the Beit HaMikdash was built, or when the Mizbeach was damaged, and now it remains Nidcha.
Well, okay, so I understand that Nidcha,
because Rav holds, in fact, the Gemara talks about elsewhere, in fact, even Rabbi Yechanan has to agree that certain case where Baal HaChaim are not Nidchen, namely, for example, the case where it developed a mum. If an animal developed a mum over, a temporary mum, we don't say that's Nidchen. As soon as the mum is healed, then it's okay to use for a carbon. So there, at least, we have an example where Baal HaChaim are Nidchen. The Rav extends that generically to all cases of Baal HaChaim, whereas there's a disagree. Okay.
One makes it permanent.
One makes it
right. Temporary.
Right. The Gemara says, mate, fine, I have a contradiction, because you learn in a price that kol ha-kodshim shahoyu ad shel ha-nivnah mizbeach, any kodshim that existed before the mizbeach was built, before it means before they built the mizbeach for the second Beit HaMikdash, the achakach nivnah mizbeach, and then the mizbeach was built, tefillin, and they're possible. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean, nivnah? What do you mean, before and after the mizbeach was built? That's a whole different case. That's when they were designated as a carbon, they weren't even suitable to be used as a carbon. Now you have, because there was no Mizbeach. Now, you have opinions elsewhere in Shas that discuss the question, what about, which we discussed it also in the first paragraph, dochui me'ikra. What if you have, when something was originally designated, it was already at that time it was possible. Is that dochui or not? Do we say that nidcha is only when nirvanis, that it was suitable, then it became possible, but here we're talking about where to begin with, it was unsuitable because there was no Mizbeach. According to the opinion that says loy habidichui, then that wouldn't work. Yes. So Ella actually nera samizbeach. So okay, let's change the wording of the brayta. We should say not before and after the mizbeach was built, but before and after the mizbeach was torn down. Torn down meaning when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the first Beit HaMikdash.
Oh.
Okay, so let's say you have, in other words, a carbon that existed before the mizbeach was torn down. Then it was torn down. And now you're saying that then the Mizbeach was rebuilt and they're fossil. So you ask, how does that work? Now that's what do you mean it was torn down? How is it? By the time the Beit HaMikdash was built, 50-odd years later, the animal's already old. And an older animal is fossil. Well, an animal could conceivably live that long, but that's not the point. Even if it does, it's possible, because once an animal is too old, then it's possible that it's possible to be used as a carbon. Okay. So obviously then you have to change the wording of the Braita. It's not talking about before or after the Mizbeach was built or destroyed. It's talking about before or after the Mizbeach was damaged, and you're saying they're fossil. That works according to Rav Yechanan, and it doesn't work according to Rav. According to Rav, they shouldn't be fossil, so they're still alive. Okay, the answer is, the Gemara says, well, let's come with our assist. Listen, you have to anyway change the wording of the Braita. As it is, the Braita as we have it, actually Nivna Mizbeach, is no good anyway. Once you're changing the wording, then you can also change that we're talking about, not that they were, meaning that they existed alive, but rather they were shechted before the Mizbeach was damaged and then afterwards they were damaged.
V'lav
terutz become a tarsus. Don't you anyway have to fix up the wording of the Braita? So then, so as long as you're fixing up the wording of the Braita, then say that it doesn't mean that the Korbanos were as in they were alive, but rather that they were as in they were shechted already. And then Rav would agree that they're Nidcha in that case.
Well, that's obvious, isn't it?
Not so obvious, because fine, Rav and Rav Yechanan both agree with that, but we have to have some source for that concept of Dichui in the first place. So the Braita would be supplying that, you should know that a carbon that existed, that was shechted when the Mizbeach was damaged. Well, that's the point. I mean, we said before, we had a Pasuk for this, and we forgot it, and then we found the Pasuk, so the Braita is telling us that did. That the Mizbeach, Shenifgam, means that all the Korbanos are Pasuk.
We derive it from the fact that
this Braita is not a contradiction to Rav, because the Braita may well be talking about Korbanos that were already shechted. Mm-hmm. Okay, the question though is, Ha'omer of Gidol, Omer Rav, Mizbeach, Shenech, Amakir, and Kterism, right? What about though, don't we find that Rav Gidol said in the name of Rav, that if the Mizbeach Pli, if the golden Mizbeach was removed from its place, then you're still able to bring Keturis on the spot, on the floor where it was, and we assume the same din would apply to the Mizbeach HaKitzen. So just because the Mizbeach was damaged, what's the problem? Why should the Korbanos be possible?
Yeah.
The same way, if it's an intermediate. that? The answer is, Kid Omar Rava Moida Hoy Rabbi Yehuda Badamim. We find that Rava says Rabbi Yehuda does agree that when it comes to, fine, you can burn Ketoras on the floor, but and you can burn carbonus on the floor, as we're going to discuss in the next piece of Gemara, which we'll do it tomorrow. No, it's fine. Rabbi Yehuda might say even with the Mizrach Chitzen that you can be makir on the floor, but Moida Hayy Rabbi Yehuda Badamim. But Rabbi Yehuda agrees when it comes to sprinkling blood that you have to have an actual mizbeach, and that applies both to the inner and the outer mizbeach. If the inner mizbeach is missing, you can't do the avodah of the blood on Yom Kippur or any of the other chatzaros of Pnimius.
Can you do avodah on the outer mizbeach if the inner mizbeach is missing?
Yeah, one has nothing to do with the other. But that's the point. We're saying if the inner mizbeach is missing, you can still bring ketoras in the place where the mizbeach is supposed to be standing, but you can't sprinkle blood there. Hachanami, moide rav, bedamim. The same thing over here. Rav might agree that if the mizbeach is damaged or missing, you can't sprinkle blood on it. The outer mizbeach here we're talking about. So therefore, so yes, it's true Rav says that if the inner mizbeach was removed, you can still bring ketoras in the place where it's supposed to be. That's however, if the outer mizbeach, and the outer mizbeach, fine, if it's removed, you could, let's say, burn carbonus over there, but you can't sprinkle blood over there. So therefore, that's what we mean, therefore, that the korbanos are possible once they were shechted.
Meaning that you cannot sprinkle blood.
Meaning, but also we're saying that if any korbanos were shechted after that, they're also possible because the blood is not, can't, because you don't have a mizbeach to sprinkle the blood on, right?
Right. But one second, if you shechted them when there was the gum on the upper mizbeach, and you cannot repair the gum and then sprinkle
that's
blood.
That's the point, they were already knit. That was the point, they were already knit. Right. Because
not
things that are,
to,
well, according to everybody, because everybody agrees that things that are shechted can be used.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, Tosis, by the way, mentions over here that according to Rabbi Yochanan, we don't say that all dichui is automatically a dichui. Even Rabbi Yochanan distinguishes, Tosis says, between a dichui where you have the ability to fix up the situation versus not.
So that's
only according to Rabbi Yochanan. Tosis mentions on the basis of various gemaras. Right, okay, fine. So then according to Rabbi Yochanan, yes, if it's a dichui, if the problem that's causing the dichui is something that you're able to fix, then it's not necessarily a dichui. Because the mizbeach is pogum, then that's it. We're saying, okay, it's true you can fix it up, but shechted things can definitely be nidcha. We're talking about when Rabbi Yochanan is saying, balik hayim nidchin, that's only if the cause of the dichui is something that you're not able to fix up.
The cause of the
dichui is
something that causes the dichui.
There's many things. I mean, you have among other things a mum on it, but you also have that's the point. But here you have the ability to fix the mizbeach. So therefore that's why the Gemara assumed before that if it was nidcha meikra, that if the mizbeach didn't even exist and then it was built, then that can't even Rabbi Yochanan couldn't say that that's possible.
If there was no mizbeach, it would not be possible so much more if there was just a gum in.
No, because the gum prevents it from being a valid mizbeach, so it's fundamentally the equivalent of there not being a mizbeach there. But that Tosfos is talking primarily about this that we were saying a little bit before about dichui meikra, where you have something with nidcha in the first place. There, the difference would be what was the cause of the dichui? Is it something that you're able to undo? For example, building a mizbeach. Then even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that's not a dichui. That's what the Gemara was saying. Versus something that you're not able to fix up, where then we would say dichui meikra have it. No, for example, Tosfos gives an example from a Gemara in Stochem. For example, if a person designates a female animal as a totem case, let's say. We're there, we say,
strictly speaking, when you come to consider the wholeness of the mizbeach.
Okay, so
if there's no mizbeach, you're saying...
If there's no mizbeach, yes, that's called dichui meikra. No, but that's called dichui meikra. That's called, but to begin with, when the animal was designated as a korban, there was no suitable place to bring it.
Right.
That's not called dichui because you have the ability to build the mizbeach.
So why can't you say the same once the mizbeach is there, but it is a gum?
Because that's already a case of dichui after the fact, where it was nira and then nitsa, and Rabbi Yochanan says once it's nira and nitsa, it can't become nira again.
Rabbi
Yochanan would say that, yeah. That there it doesn't matter whether
there is a difference between the absence of mizbeach and
Because no, not so much there's a difference between the absence of mizbeach. There's a difference between when the animal was designated as a korban, was there a mizbeach available to put it on. In other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it seems then, in other words, according to that, if you had an animal that was not yet designated as a korban when the mizbeach was damaged, and then you designate it as a korban, also Rabbi Yochanan would say that it's not, that there's no problem. You fix the mizbeach and then the animal is near it. Because there's no... When the mizbeach was damaged.
When the mizbeach was damaged.
Then Rabbi Yochanan would have no problem with that, because then fine. The yodo, just fix the mizbeach. There you have a case, again, of dichui me'ikra, where the korban was tossed to begin with, and therefore no problem. That's nira. Here we're talking about nira the nira. Here we're talking about where it did exist. It was already designated as a korban. Then the mizbeach was damaged, and then the mizbeach was fixed. That's when Rabbi Yochanan would say, once it's nira, doesn't matter whether the dichui is caused by something that you could fix or not. The animal was nidcha, and therefore it's not nidra.
Dichui
yikra means... to begin with, when it was designated.
It
was already, yeah, exactly.
Ah.
Yeah.
So in other words, when it's damaged before the animal is designated, that's okay.
Then Rabbi Yochanan would say that that's based on what Tosafot is saying, that that's okay because...
Or the absence of any there.
Right.
However, when it's damaged... After the animal is designated...
Then no good, because then you have a problem with dichui, because then the animal was... usable and then became no good and then became and then now you're trying to write.
Okay.
Fine. All right. So we'll continue tomorrow, Rabbi Hashem, with where Rabbi Yehuda gets his idea that you're able to bring korbanos when the mizbeach itself doesn't exist.
Yes.
Okay.